May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
Way back in 1897, Virginia O'Hanlon wrote a letter to the editor of the New York Sun, in fact asking whether Santa Claus were real. And the editor wrote back in his famous editorial, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus." I've been thinking a lot about that famous exchange. And not because of what Francis Church, the editor of the New York Sun, wrote in reply, which itself is this beautiful, wonderful philosophical treatise on innocence. What struck me was actually what Virginia O'Hanlon wrote first to the editors of the New York Sun. In her very short little note, she said, "Some of my little friends say that there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you see it in the sun, it's so. If you see it in the sun, it's so." That's what struck me. The Sun was such an authoritative newspaper. Not just for Virginia O'Hanlon and her papa, but for all Americans, that if you saw in the sun, it was so. And it makes me wonder whether we could make a similar statement today. Is there any newspaper or any news source so authoritative that if it says something, we all agree that it must be so, that it must be the truth? We all have our own newspaper or website or news source that is authoritative for us, each in our own way. But in these modern days, I seriously doubt that there is one authority that is so authoritative that all of us could assent that it speaks the truth. And when I say I doubt that such an authority exists, I don't just mean traditional news sources, whether you get your news from the New York Times or from the Wall Street Journal or from the Huffington Post or from Fox News, or from even Occupy Democrats and Addicting Info, or Red State and Breitbart. What I mean is that bedrock authorities, institutions of authority, are no longer universally accepted as speaking the truth. And that ranges from our federal intelligence agencies to the Congressional Budget Office, the National Science Foundation, to even the Office of the Presidency of the United States of America. There's a whole group of people who feel like the president does not speak the truth. And come January 21st, there'll be a whole group of other people who feel that the president will not speak the truth. We live in an age where there is no one authority that we believe, as a people, speaks the truth. Or is there? Of course, I'm up here today on Christmas Eve night to say that there is an authority that all human beings recognize as speaking the truth in this world. That authority, of course, is God. Regardless of what language you use to describe God, regardless of what creed you use to understand God, regardless of whether you even profess to believe in God, every human being recognizes the reality of God, the love of God, the truth of God when we encounter it. And that is because of how God has spoken to us. Tonight's gospel, we hear that in the beginning was the Word. The Word of God was God. And the Word of God brought light into darkness and brought life into nothingness. Life testifies to the presence of God. The life that we encounter in this world testifies to the presence of the living Word of God. I'll give you an example. This past autumn, I had the great joy of holding my niece for the very first time. And when I held that new life in my arms, and I looked down into her eyes, and she looked up back into my eyes, and my heart just melted. I knew in that moment that God was drawing our hearts together, reaching out to be joined. That act of melting, of becoming so vulnerable before this little precious life, is the exact same experience that we have when we kneel before the manger, before the vulnerable Christ child. Whenever we encounter new life, it humbles all of us, regardless of our creed or our language. But that's not all. God is so universally known, not just because God, the Word of God, made light, or because God, the Word of God, made life, but because God, the Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. I cannot overstate the importance of Emmanuel, God coming to live with us, to dwell with us, as human. When Jesus Christ took on flesh and became human, it wasn't just because God wanted to more intimately know us, our creation. His creation, excuse me. It was because he wanted us to more intimately know him. Every time we experience our deepest sorrows and pains, or our greatest joys and hopes, we are experiencing the exact same emotional realities that God experienced in Jesus Christ. When I hold my niece in my arms and I melt into that puddle of love, I am melting into the eternal experience of love that is Jesus Christ. It's as if when I hold her and we see each other, we are experiencing Emmanuel, and God is actually holding the two of us together. Our bodies are the text, the newspaper, upon which the Word of God is written. If we can see God, Emmanuel, written in our hearts, in our lived emotional experiences, then we know that God must be so. As we search for an authority that speaks the truth, we do not need to look any farther than our own bodies, our own souls, our own hearts. Here is written the living Word of God. And when in this Christmas time we remember that God was made flesh and dwelt among us, we affirm also that God continues to dwell among us, continues to bring light into the darkness, continues to bring life into those places that have no life, and continues to draw us, our souls and bodies, into communion with himself. When you see Emmanuel, when you live Emmanuel, you know that it must be so.